So let me start with a few scriptures. And because during, you know, while I was preparing for this, God really changed my mind in what I thought about transformation. And I think the danger that we all as Christians is that we can fall in a trap where the devil wants to bring a version of transformation, but it is not real transformation, or it's not biblical transformation. It looks good, it looks fine, it looks right, but it leads to nothing. It just keeps us good Christians. So let me start with a couple of scriptures. And the scriptures that I want to mention is, if we want to see transformation in our lives, there are a good foundation that we have to lay. We have to build on a good biblical foundation so that we can step into the fullness of what God's got for us. So let me just cover 3 points quickly, and then I'm going to go into what I want to say. So transformation is a journey. It's not an event. It can be an event as well, but it's mainly a journey. We have to say yes to God. But before we go on this journey, I believe there are a couple of things that we have to make sure of. And the one is, make sure that your righteousness is found in Jesus and not based on your good deeds or performance. So please check that your righteousness, your right standing before God, is not based on the fact that you come to church or that you read your Bible, but that it's found in Romans 10, verse 9. And let me read this. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. There's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. Your right standing with God is Jesus. That's what it is. Make sure that is your foundation. Galatians 2:21. I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness could be gained through the law, Christ died for nothing. So if you try and earn a good standing with God by doing good deeds, or Christ died for nothing, it's worthless. Number two, accept God's discipline. Hebrews 12, verse 7, accept God's discipline. I believe God wants to change things in our life, and we are stubborn. And as soon as God highlights areas we need to change, we run away. Or we say, ooh, ouch. No, thank you, God. I want to pass this one. So Hebrews 12, verse 7 says this, endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children. For what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful later on, and here it is. However, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Please submit to that. And look for areas where you are sidestepping God's discipline. As soon as he wants to correct you on something, you run away or you look the other way. Number three, approach God with confidence. In transformation, we have full confidence that we can approach the Holy of Holies. That is incredible. That is incredible. You know, a while ago, I watched a documentary about the holies of holies in the Hindu faith. And they made such a big fuss. It's a massive temple, and you have to be the top and the elite to go in into the Holy of Holies. And when they got into there with the cameras, there was like a fire pit and smoke and stuff. And I thought, oh, okay, it's a bit underwhelming. But we can enter into the Holy of Holies with the living God. Hebrews 4, verse 14 says this, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne with grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to highlight that for you, that there's probably more, but I was thinking that was the basic foundations that we have to get hold of when we think about transformation. I want to move on to a scripture. Before I do, let me just quickly say, so when you think about transformation, and we all think, you know, we think about Romans 12, be transformed. And with all over the New Testament, we hear Paul speaking, you know, be like Jesus, change, imitate him, imitate me. That's what he was saying. So whenever we think about transformation, we think about fire. I have to be like Jesus. I have to be speak like Jesus. I have to do the things that Jesus did. And when I do all those things, I will be transformed and I will be like Jesus. And it's wonderful. And the life of God will flow through me. Do you think the same? No, okay, you maybe did you read my notes before, Charlene? No, I'm kidding. But you know what? For me, when I think about transformation, is that transformation is becoming more like Jesus. You are full of grace. You are kind. You pray for people. You heal the sick. You can list all those things. Transformation. Let me read you a scripture quickly. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And while I was preparing, God highlighted this thing for me, that there are true transformation, biblical transformation, and false transformation. False transformation, when I give it to you, sounds good, but it is not true transformation. But let me read the scripture. It will explain some of it. 2 Corinthians 3:18. And we all who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. Sounds right? Sounds good? I like it. But listen to this. And I think where we can go wrong, where unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory are being transformed into his image. And you know the picture that I've got when I hear that scripture? Are being transformed into the image with ever-increasing glory. How wonderful is that? It sounds like I'm lying next to the pool on my pool chair and relaxing. And while I'm lying there, God is transforming me to ever-increasing glory. You know what? And I think we as Christians fall for that, that we think that transformation is something automatic and it is that's going to happen anyway. It doesn't matter what I do. Because that scripture says the Lord's glory and are being transformed into his image. So I can do whatever I want as long as I go to church and read my Bible and pray. I can do whatever I want because transformation is automatic and it will happen. I just need to live longer because I need more of it. And God will automatically just transform me like a miracle. You know, I'll change from a caterpillar into a butterfly overnight because Jesus just touched me. But listen to this, Romans 12:2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that sounds more like biblical transformation. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will, and that is transformation. There's a part that we have to play, and it says, be transformed. So that tells me this, we have to take action. We have to do something. And this is the thing that I want to, if you forget everything and remember what I'm going to say now, that's okay. When I think about transformation, I think about all the to-do list that's mentioned in the Bible, how we must behave, all the things that tick your behavior boxes. Be this, don't do like that, be this, do this, say this, act like this, blah, 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 and I can just carry on. But transformation, I believe, is this. For you to be able to test and approve what God's will is. His good, pleasing, and perfect will. That is transformation. And I'm going to take a few minutes to explain that, what I'm getting to. To test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. Let me say this. To know God's will, to know God's good, pleasing, and perfect will only come if God reveals that to you. It will only come as God reveals that to you. It's something supernatural that happens when God lifts the lid and He made all the stuff that you read in the Bible and He makes it come alive. It's called revelation. That is the start of transformation. When God takes you and He shows you, this is my will. That is what I want to accomplish on earth in your world. And then He takes your life and He shows you what part you are going to play in His will. That is transformation. That is transformation. Not living a good moral life, not going to church. Those all things are important. But to see what God sees, to see His will, His good, perfect will, what He wants to accomplish in your world, then He takes your life and He shows you the part that you have to play. Holy Spirit switches you on inside and God lets you know your role that you're going to play in His will. So this is the danger. This is the danger that we can fall into. We can very easily reduce Christ-like transformation to a set of rules, and the result is that we focus on outward appearance and not inward change. You know, it is so easy for us as Christians to just look outwardly, to say, oh, wow, that person looks, you know, he's at prayer meetings, he's praying more, I know he's reading his Bible a bit more, he's attending church regularly, and we can reduce biblical transformation, the work that God wants to do in our lives, we can reduce it to a set of tick boxes. And we miss our calling, we miss what God wants to do. Let me give you an example. So God wants to accomplish things on earth. And He wants to use you to do that with Him. That is where transformation starts. So what I'm saying is we can reduce transformation and say, yes, God, I'm moving forward in you, but actually I'm not. And we can reduce transformation to this. Let me mention a few. We can reduce Christ-like transformation to a set of rules. And it is like this. Be sincere, honor one another, don't lack in zeal, serve the Lord, help with setup, be patient with one another, be faithful in prayer, share with God's people, practice hospitality, bless and do not curse, don't be proud, be humble, associate with people from lower position, don't repay evil with evil, live at peace with everyone, be kind, don't boast, don't be rude, don't be self-seeking, don't be easily angered, keep no records of wrong, show mercy, have compassion, be concerned about others, hate what is evil, blah, 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 blah. And all we do is we tick boxes. Yes, I'm a good person. Yes, I'm being transformed. Yes, I'm doing God's will. Yes, 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 yes. And all we do, we fall in a trap where we follow biblical things. Nothing wrong with the things that I've mentioned. They're all biblical, they're good things. But we use these things. And the more we do these things, we puff ourselves up and we say, yes, I'm not that bad. I'm at least better than Bob over here. That's not, you know, we see him once a month in church. Obviously, I'm better. I'm becoming more and more like Jesus. I'm more committed. And we reduced what God's got for us to a list of to-do lists that we have to do in church. Gee, I don't know what you're thinking at the moment. Maybe you're thinking, get him out of here. Switch the mic off or something. But it took me a while to see this. It took me a while to see this. And please don't be lulled into the lie that the devil is giving us. That if we do a tick box list, that is transformation. It is not. It is absolutely not. Transformation comes when God touches you. He shows you. He shows you His world, and then He shows you the part that you have to play. That is the start where you get on the journey of what God's got for your life. Is it starting to make sense? Okay, cool. I'm glad. Yeah. So in preparing for this, God gave me such a clear picture that there's true transformation and there's false transformation. And the more the devil can let us believe the lie that we are in the process of transformation, the more we can believe that lie, the less we will step into real, true transformation God wants for us. So biblical transformation, I just wrote this down. Is God, I surrender to you completely. I give you my whole life. Come and reveal yourself to me and show me what you want to achieve in and through my life. Come and make me. Come and make me. I believe true transformation is this. Allowing God to shape you, allowing God to change you, allowing God to make you. Because once God wants to take your life and He wants to make you in order that you can become the person who God wants you to be. There are things that God wants to take your life and He wants to use you. But in order for you to be useful, God needs to intervene. He needs to switch you on. He needs to show you. He needs to give you a revelation of what He's doing. And He will put the Holy Spirit in you that will never leave you and will always remind you. Let me just tell a quick story. And I've mentioned this last week to someone. And I'm just going to grab something. I mentioned it to someone last week. And they said, oh, fire, that doesn't sound very good. Anyway, so this little book is my notebook from 2002, where I wrote down notes. And in there is a preacher, was preached on the 22nd of December 2002. So that's a year and a bit after our month was born. And when I wrote the notes in that preach, I think we were Christians for about a year and a half. And I told someone, I can't remember who it was, and I said, you know what? After that preach, I went back home. I can't remember if it was the next day or the next week or end of the week or whatever. And I worked through the scriptures and I said, God, what is it that you're trying to show me? And God, it's difficult to explain, but it's like God put me in a 3D movie. It's not even like a movie. It was like I was in a scene, and the scene that played out was horrific. It was like death and destruction. And I was walking in the streets, and all around me were people. It looked like there was a war going on. People were lying in the streets, and smoke and fire, and it looked terrible. And in that moment, God showed me a picture of my life. And He said, you know what? You have to do whatever you can to grow in God. Never get to a place where you stand still, because you will never stand still. When you think you stand still, you are going backwards. You're going backwards. Look, it's a very short version of what I saw. But from that moment on, God has put in me a never-ending desire to search and know Him better and better and better. It is just who I am. And so I told this to someone, I can't remember, was it usually? Can't remember. And the person said, sheesh, that's a bit of old revelation. 2002. And I said, yes, it is, but actually not. Because it is as fresh today as it was in 2002. It's like it happened yesterday. Along the road, yeah, I had more. I had more pictures, I had more visions, but never anything like this. And that morning, as I was doing Bible study, I just started to cry, and I couldn't stop. And Maureen came in and said, what's the matter? I've never seen you cry. And I just couldn't stop. And God just showed me this picture of what's going to happen to me if I don't get my act together. And that was for me. And then God took me through a whole stage where He worked on me, He shaped me, He molded me, and He put things in me that I can get on the same page. But what He showed me was a picture of what He is doing and my role in that. But that only came later. So God first had to do a work in me, and then He showed me what my role is. And today, I'm standing in a bit of that. I'm standing in a bit of that. So that's from 2002. We all need that. We all need that. We all need God to reach into our hearts and to give us a revelation of what He's doing and what your role is in His plans and His purposes. We need that so desperately. If we don't have that, we're going to miss it completely. We'll keep on trying to do all the Christian things. And what then? There are things, you know what, today, here today, there are people that God wants to preach. There are people that God probably wants to plant churches. There are people that God wants to bring prophetic words. There's people who God wants to use to bring healing. There are people who want God to heal, to lead home groups, to go to other nations. You can name it. There are things that God wants to achieve in and through you. But it's not going to happen if God doesn't touch us, if God doesn't reveal it to us. So you might sit here and say, good, I agree. And God did that to me 20 years ago as well. So, well done, I can go home now. Or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, whatever. And what I want to encourage you with is this. If you had a moment where God revealed that to you, is go back to that, because it might have changed slightly. Because when it first happened, God wanted to do a work in your heart. But maybe it has changed that He wants you to do something else with that now. And maybe this is the next step for you. So please don't take old revelation as old, because God can make that new again and He can bring changes to that. Does that make sense? So I want us to, in a moment, we're going to sing a few more songs, but I want to give us opportunity to respond to God, because somewhere, if we haven't done it, we have to get on the journey. We have to step on. And while I was preparing, God showed me a picture. Where did I write that? God showed me a picture of you get to a train station, you're on the platform, and you get into the train, and you're on your way to somewhere. That train is taking you somewhere. You're on a journey. And the picture that God gave me is through church and our human traditions. We go to church, we do this. On Christmas Day, we do this. In church, we do this. We do communion. We go to the prayer meeting. Doing all these Christian and traditions, we step onto a train and we sit down and we look out the window and we wait for the journey to start. But the train's got no wheels. It's on blocks. It's on blocks. It's not going anywhere. The journey is going absolutely nowhere. And that is the false transformation that the devil wants to show you. He says, please get on the train every week. Go to church. Go to your prayer meeting. Carry on. Do it year in and year out. The same thing, the same thing. Get on your train without wheels. I love it. I love it. When Christians get on the train and through traditions and the things they've been doing every week, every month, every year, but nothing else happens in their life. Please get on the train. Get on the journey. That's a lie that the devil wants to bring. That we are busy with true transformation, and actually we're sitting in a train without wheels that's going nowhere. But what God wants to do is He wants to take us to a train station, walk on the platform, open doors, and we get on a train with wheels that's powered by the Holy Spirit. And we get on a journey with God because we've seen what He wants to achieve. We've seen what He wants to do. We've seen the lives that He wants to change. We've seen how He wants to use us in His picture. Guys, if we don't have a revelation of how God wants to use me and you, we are just going to keep on doing church. In you, there needs to burn and be a desire, a godly desire that God has put in your heart that's never going to go out, for something that He wants to achieve in and through your life. There needs to be something like that. There needs to be something like that. Otherwise, we're just going to do church. So the lie from the enemy, participate in church and religious traditions and activities, and you're on the journey of transformation. Woohoo! Go to church, partake in communion, attend home group, all those things. Do all these things, but don't allow God to shape you, to change you, to make you. Please don't allow God to transform you from the inside, because the devil hates that. But what we need to do is we need to allow God to shake us, to take us, and to make us. Otherwise, we're not going to see transformation. Keep going the way you're going. Don't do anything else. Don't rock the boat. But today, I want to give us all opportunity. And look, even if you told me that, man, I've had that revelation, I know exactly what God's plan is, and I know what my plan is, well done, good. Who are you taking with you? What is that? What is that? And if it's a niggling something that doesn't want to go away, dig deeper. Get with God. Get with God. And let Him reveal to you what it is. So I want to pray for us. And I want you, if that sounds good for you, I want you to respond to that. So let's stand. Let's stand quickly. And I'm going to pray. And if you want to pray in your heart with me, and do that. But I know what? It might not happen now, but if we say yes to the journey and we're willing to get on the train, it will happen. Maybe a week, maybe a month, maybe a year, maybe 18 months. But we need to see God's picture and how He wants to use us. So just close your eyes. I want to pray for us.